Hello, and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on the Windows Firewall with Advanced Security. My name is Valerie Lee. Microsoft Windows Vista greatly improves the ability of administrators to manage the firewall settings, along with advanced security configuration, such as IPsec. During this session, we'll discuss how IPsec works with domain and server isolation to provide increased network security. We are going to look at features of firewalls in general, and specifically the firewall included with Windows operating systems. We will be using some of the features in previous versions of Windows Firewall to highlight the new benefits of the Windows Firewall with Windows Vista. Windows Firewall with Windows Vista provides greater configuration options, resulting in greater security for different connection methods, such as LAN or wireless connections. We will look at ways to configure rules for more control over incoming and outgoing traffic. In addition, we will examine new troubleshooting capabilities available with Windows Vista. As we go through today's session, you will hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or from other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with either prior to the session or to reference afterwards. Although we will give an overview of firewall functionality, it is helpful to have a basic understanding of the different types of firewalls and how they work to filter network traffic. When discussing Windows Firewall and IPsec, we will mention many networking technologies, especially TCP/IP, in regards to IP addresses and the sending and receiving of network traffic. Knowledge of networking technologies will help you generate a better picture of these processes. Finally, Windows Firewall can be configured through group policy. IPsec and domain isolation occur through group policy objects. So, a general understanding of group policy with Microsoft Windows will help you in this discussion. To cover the topics mentioned and keep the session flow going, we have divided the session up into the following agenda items. We'll start today with a brief overview of the need for an integrated firewall solution and how we've addressed this need in Windows XP. Then we'll look at specific features of Windows Firewall and Windows Vista. We will examine new functionality and also discuss how to manage Windows Firewall. We will look at how you can configure and troubleshoot Windows Firewall. In addition, we will give an overview of IPsec and discuss how the two are integrated in Windows Vista. We will show how this simplifies administration of security. As technology increases, so do network concerns. The increasing use of laptops, handheld devices, and remote workers complicates physical network topology. A mobile workforce presents a growing concern of how to prevent unauthorized access to trusted network resources. In addition, organizations need to limit access to sensitive data to qualified personnel. Unfortunately, as programs become more complex, providing greater benefits for companies, hackers utilize the technology to create viruses and worms in increasing complexity. Companies are faced with the challenge of thwarting malware attacks and denial of service attacks. Finally, as regulatory burdens increase, companies are required to maintain compliance with legislative regulations. Windows Firewall was introduced to alleviate some of the burdens companies face within their networks. Before Windows XP, Windows did not come with a built-in firewall. With these earlier versions of Windows, you had to either install your own software firewall or use a hardware firewall with a router or other networking device. With the release of Windows XP, a firewall was integrated with the operating system. Originally, Windows Firewall was known as Internet Connection Firewall, or ICF. With Windows XP, the ICF software was used to restrict what information was communicated between the Internet and your home or small office network. ICF was also used to protect a single computer connected to the Internet with a cable modem, a DSL modem, or a dial-up modem. One of the shortcomings of the Windows Firewall with Windows XP is that it only blocked incoming traffic. Windows Firewall with Windows Vista blocks both incoming and outgoing traffic. The new Windows Firewall monitors incoming traffic and drops all unsolicited incoming traffic that does not correspond to either traffic sent in response to a request of the computer or unsolicited traffic that has been specified as allowed. By blocking incoming traffic, Windows Firewall helps prevent the infection of computers by network-level viruses and worms that spread through unsolicited incoming traffic. The new Windows Firewall can also block outgoing traffic. For example, a network administrator can configure the new Windows Firewall with a set of rules to block all traffic to specific addresses containing either sensitive or undesirable content. The default behavior of the new Windows Firewall is to block all incoming traffic unless it is solicited or it matches a configured rule. The default for outgoing traffic is to allow all unless it matches a configured rule. Windows Firewall with Windows Vista provides full support for IPv6. Windows Vista includes a new implementation of the TCP/IP protocol stack known as the Next Generation TCP/IP Stack. The Next Generation TCP/IP Stack is a redesign of TCP/IP functionality for both Internet Protocol version 4, IPv4, and Internet Protocol version 6, IPv6, to meet current connectivity and performance needs. Teredo is an IPv6 transition technology that allows IPv6, IPv4 nodes that are separated by one or more NATs to communicate end-to-end with global IPv6 addresses. An IPv4 Network Address Translator, or NAT, is commonly used on the Internet to preserve the public IPv4 address space by translating the addresses and port numbers of traffic to and from private network hosts that use private IPv4 addresses. Teredo was first released with the Advanced Networking Pack for Windows XP with Service Pack 1 and is provided with Windows Vista. Applications that are already IPv6 enabled require no additional modification. Teredo is just one of the ways in which the next generation TCP/IP stack can send and receive IPv6 traffic. Computers running Windows Vista have IPv6, Teredo, and Windows Firewall enabled by default, and are protected from unwanted, unsolicited, incoming IPv6 traffic. All Windows Firewall rules apply to both IPv4 and IPv6 traffic. Because Windows Firewall allows rules for incoming traffic based on TCP or UDP ports, or by specifying a program name, the rules are more specific than rules configured on typical NATs. Windows Firewall also provides interface type support for RAS, LAN, and wireless communications. As the workforce is becoming more mobile, this adds additional security for communication with the entire network. Windows Firewall uses program-based rules using the program path or service name. Windows Firewall processes rules in a particular order. Service restrictions have a higher priority than any other Windows Firewall rule, since services are attractive targets for malware. For example, Code Red attacked Microsoft services in July 2001, and Sasser was released in April 2004. For this reason, security for services is essential to protect important resources. By specifying service restrictions, you minimize the resource access to only legitimate resources. This reduces the damage potential and number of critical vulnerability in services. After service restrictions, rules are processed in the following order: connection security rules, authenticated bypass rules, block rules, and allow rules. Finally, default rules are processed. These default rules come in the highest precedence group policy object. In response to governmental security requirements and trends in the security industry to support stronger cryptography, Windows Vista supports additional key derivation and encryption algorithms. In addition to the Data Encryption Standard, DES, and Triple DES, or 3DS, Windows Server Longhorn and Windows Vista support additional algorithms for encrypting data. The first is Advanced Encryption Standard with Cipher Block Chaining and a 128-bit key size, AES-128. The next is AES with CBC and a 192-bit key size, AES-192. And finally, AES with CBC and a 256-bit key size, or AES-256. These new encryption algorithms can't be used for security association with a computer running Windows Server 2003, Windows XP, or Windows 2000. Windows Vista supports the following additional algorithms to negotiate the master key material derived during main mode negotiation: ECDH P256 and ECDH P384. These are stronger than the algorithms supported in Windows Server 2003 and Windows XP Service Pack 2. Like the new encryption algorithms, the new DH algorithms can't be used for main mode negotiation with a computer running Windows Server 2003, Windows XP, or Windows 2000. The Windows Firewall in Windows XP utilizes a GUI for configuration that consists of the Windows Firewall item in Control Panel and a series of group policy settings in the Group Policy Object Editor snap-in. With Windows Vista, you can still configure the new Windows Firewall with the Windows Firewall item in Control Panel, which displays the same set of configuration options as for the previous Windows Firewall. However, you can configure basic settings for the new Windows Firewall in Control Panel, and you cannot configure enhanced features. The Windows Firewall with Advanced Security MMC Snap-in provides a central location for configuration of both local and Active Directory group policy-based configuration. This snap-in allows you to administer the advanced configuration options available with the new Windows Firewall. In addition, with the new Windows Firewall with Advanced Security Snap-in, network administrators can configure settings for the new Windows Firewall on remote computers, which was not possible with the previous Windows Firewall without a remote desktop connection. The snap-in allows you to configure the rules for inbound and outbound stateful IP filtering with configurable defaults. Also available are location-aware policy profiles, including domain and standard profiles. You can centrally manage the firewall through group policy, including delegation, backup and restore, and policy refresh. Scripting integration with Windows Firewall COM APIs allows new interfaces for managing service restrictions and new interfaces for programmatically creating granular firewall rules. From this snap-in, you can also manage IPsec. This prevents conflicts between the technologies and prevents a coordinated front against threats. When you configure IPsec policy with the new Windows Firewall with Advanced Security snap-in, you can configure protected communication with several new settings. You can configure by application name, which simplifies protected traffic configuration because the ports used by the application do not need to be manually configured. Second, you can now specify all TCP or UDP ports or multiple TCP or UDP ports in a comma-delimited list, simplifying configuration. You can specify addresses in a numeric range or in a local subnet. You can also project traffic based on the interface type, including wireless, LAN, and remote access. You can specify the list of computer or user accounts or groups in Active Directory that are authorized to initiate protected communication. This allows you to specify that traffic to specific servers with sensitive data must be protected and can only originate from specific user accounts in specific Active Directory security groups. You can configure by ICMP or ICMPv6 type or code value. Finally, you can specify that the rule applies to any process, only for services, or for a specific service by its service name, or you can type the short name for the service. For command line configuration of advanced settings in the new Windows Firewall, you can use commands in the NetSH Advanced Firewall context. The command line tool for Windows Firewall has many of the same options as the Windows Firewall with Advanced Security snap-in. There are options to display a configuration script, export or import a configuration script, reset the local policy to the default out-of-box policy, and set or show the per profile or global settings. There are four subcontexts available: Consec, Inbound, Monitor, and Outbound. Each of these subcontexts has its own options. For example, the Inbound context lets you view inbound rules, add or delete inbound rules, display configuration scripts, or set a new value for the properties of an existing rule. The Consec subcontext is used for connection security rules, and the Outbound security context is used for outbound firewall rules. the monitor context lets you perform monitoring of the firewall. Much like the monitoring node in the Windows Firewall with Advanced Security Snap-in. Let's look at the new Windows Firewall with Advanced Security Snap-in. In this demonstration, we will introduce the Windows Firewall with Advanced Security Snap-in and Windows Firewall Management with the Group Policy Object Editor. You can configure advanced settings for the new Windows Firewall by accessing the Windows Firewall with Advanced Security Snap-in from the Administrator Tools container in Control Panel. With the Windows Firewall and Advanced Security Snap-in, you can configure inbound and outbound rules and computer connection security. In addition, there are monitoring abilities within this console. We will examine each of these options in detail in later demonstrations. The Windows Firewall with Advanced Security Snap-in has three panes available for configuration and resources. The Overview pane displays the current state of the new Windows Firewall for each profile, including which profile is active. There is also a Getting Started pane, which provides you with basic information about the functions of the new Windows Firewall and provides links to nodes in the console tree. Finally, there is a section that provides links to additional information about common procedures and topics for the new Windows Firewall. When you select an option in either the console tree or the Details pane, the corresponding menu options will be displayed in the Actions pane. This provides an alternative to right-clicking an item. To modify the new Windows Firewall state or specify additional settings that control the new Windows Firewall behavior, logging settings, and IPsec settings for each profile, we can open the properties of Windows Firewall with Advanced Security. Windows Firewall runs with three network profiles, domain, private, and public. The private profile is applied when a computer is connected to a network in which the computer's domain account does not reside, such as a public network like the Internet. The private profile settings are typically more restrictive than the domain profile, because the private profile settings do not need to include applications and services that are used only in a managed domain environment. The public profile is applied when a computer is connected to a domain using a VPC connection, or to a network in which the computer's domain account does not reside, such as a public network like the Internet. The public profile settings are the most restrictive because the computer is connected to a public network where the security cannot be as tightly controlled as within an IT environment. The domain profile settings are applied when the computer is connected to a network in which the computer's domain account resides. We'll start by specifying IPsec properties for all profiles. You can go with the default settings, or you can customize the settings to your company's needs. We can choose any of the available key exchange methods. The Edit Advanced Key Exchange Settings dialog box displays options for encryption algorithm choices, key exchange algorithm choices, and integrity algorithm choices. The default encryption algorithm is AES-128, which is one of the new algorithms that Windows Vista supports. In addition, you have the option of selecting AES-192 or AES-256, the other two new algorithms. You can also select the key exchange algorithm you want to use. By default, DHGroup2 is selected. This method is stronger than DHGroup1 and is compatible with previous Windows versions. You also have the option of selecting one of the new key exchange algorithms included with Windows Vista. We are going to select the ECDH-P256, which is a stronger algorithm than the default, but can only be used with Windows Vista or Windows Server Longhorn operating systems. You can also configure data protection settings for IPsec. For protocol types, you can select ESP or AH. ESP is the recommended protocol because it is compatible with network address translation. Algorithm types are SHA-1 or MD5. While SHA-1 is stronger than MD5, it uses up more resources. We can also specify the amount of time in either minutes or megabytes before a key is regenerated. When you select an integrity suite, you must also select an encryption suite. We'll keep the default setting for the encryption suite. Finally, you can select the authentication method for IPsec. You can select a computer, a user, or a combination of the two. You can also choose to use a computer certificate from a certificate authority you specify. In addition to the Windows Firewall with Advanced Security Snap-in, you can use the Group Policy Object Editor to configure Windows Firewall. In particular, you would use the Group Policy Object Editor for group policy-based configuration of Windows Firewall. The new Windows Firewall will apply group policy settings configured for the current Windows Firewall under the Computer Configuration node. Computers running Windows XP with Service Pack 2 or Windows Server Longhorn will ignore the group policy settings for Windows Firewall. The Details pane displays the same panes as the Windows Firewall with the Advanced Security Snap-in, but without the Actions pane. In addition, you don't have the Monitoring node in the Group Policy Snap-in. This interface makes the job of configuring Windows Firewall more intuitive for the administrator. Now that we have seen an overview of the Windows Firewall features with Windows Vista, let's look at how to configure options for the Windows Firewall and utilize troubleshooting tools. With Windows Firewall and Windows Vista, there are several configuration options for rules. Rules can be configured for Active Directory accounts and groups. For rules that specify that incoming or outgoing traffic must be protected with IPsec, you can specify the list of computer accounts and groups or user accounts and groups that are authorized to initiate protected communication. Rules can be configured for source and destination IP addresses. With previous versions of Windows Firewall, you could specify the portion of the network from which the expected traffic was allowed to originate, that is, the source IP address of incoming traffic. With Windows Firewall and Windows Vista, you can configure both source and destination IP addresses for both incoming and outgoing traffic, allowing you to more closely define the type of traffic that is allowed or blocked. With the new Windows Firewall, you can configure both source and destination TCP or UDP ports for both incoming and outgoing traffic, allowing you to more closely define the type of TCP or UDP traffic that is allowed or blocked. You can also configure rules for all TCP or UDP ports, or create a comma delimited list of multiple ports. With previous versions of Windows Firewall, you could create rules based on TCP or UDP traffic, but you couldn't specify other types of traffic that did not use TCP or UDP. The new Windows Firewall allows you to either select the protocol by name or manually type the value of the IPv4 protocol or IPv6 next header fields for the desired traffic. Rules can be configured for specific types of interfaces. You can specify that a rule be applied to all interfaces or to specific types of interfaces, including LAN, remote access, or wireless interfaces. Finally, rules can be configured for services. You can specify that the rule be applied to any processes, only for services, for a specific service by its service name, or you can type the short name for the service. ICMP allows for the generation of error messages, test packets, and informational messages related to IP. The ICMP protocol is used to report problems with the delivery of IP datagrams within an IP network. It can be used to warn for things such as when a particular end system is not responding, when an IP network is not reachable, when a node is overloaded, or when an error occurs in the IP header information. The ping program contains a client interface to ICMP. It may be used by a user to verify that end-to-end internet path is operational. The ping program also collects performance statistics. Windows Vista introduces the network awareness feature, which removes the reliance of the ICMP protocol for a policy application. Instead of ICMP, the group policy client will use network location awareness for bandwidth determination. This feature allows organizations to secure their networks with firewalls, filter the ICMP protocol, and apply group policy. Group policy processes even if you have removed the ability for computers to respond to the ICMP protocol. In the past, group policy settings would fail in this situation because slow lane detection relied on ICMP. The group policy client Windows Vista now utilizes network location awareness to determine the network bandwidth and successfully continues to process group policy. Network location awareness also provides other benefits. First, the workstation or server will experience more efficient boot up times with network location awareness. Because network location awareness provides an accurate indicator to group policy of when the network is ready and determines if the adapter is disabled or disconnected, group policy will shorten its wait time when the network is unavailable. Then the group policy client will apply policy settings whenever domain controller availability returns. By more quickly applying group policy changes, your workstation will be more secure. Network location awareness also allows you to make changes to policy settings and ensure that they are applied efficiently to mobile users. When mobile users connect to the corporate network over virtual private networks, or VPN, the group policy client will detect the availability of a domain controller. If the group policy refresh cycle has elapsed or the previous policy application has failed, group policy will initiate a background refresh over the VPN connection, updating both the computer and user policy. There is no need to reboot or log off before connecting to the corporate network over a VPN. In this demonstration, we will show options for creating rules, including inbound and outbound rules, how to open a port, and how to create a computer connection security rule. Now we are going to show how to create firewall rules. We can create rules for both inbound and outbound traffic. Windows Firewall will examine all incoming traffic against the rules we create and allow the traffic we specify. To create an inbound rule, right-click Inbound Rules in the tree and then click New Rule. Alternately, you can click Inbound Rules in the tree and then click New Rule in the Actions pane. You can specify rules based on several conditions. First, you can create a rule for incoming traffic based on a program name. Next, you can specify a rule for incoming traffic based on TCP or UDP ports. When creating a rule for a port, you must specify an action, the profile to which the rule applies, and a name for the rule. There are several predefined rules that you can also specify. Finally, you can create a custom rule, which is a rule that does not specify a program port or predefined service. You would select this option if you wanted to manually configure rule behavior, perhaps based on advanced settings that cannot be configured through the pages of the new inbound rule wizard. Predefined rules include remote assistance, file and printer sharing, remote desktop, universal plug-and-play framework, and ICMP echo requests. We will create a rule for remote assistance from the predefined list. Since we have chosen a predefined rule type, we'll be presented with a number of predefined rule settings. For remote desktop, there is only one rule available, but the other rule types, for example, remote service administration, will have several predefined rules to choose from. For each firewall rule, we can configure each communication endpoint to determine whether traffic will be allowed or denied. Now we'll configure the behavior of the firewall when network communication matches the firewall rule. We can allow, block, or allow with limitations. For our organization, we'll allow connections through the remote desktop, but we want to secure the communication by requiring encryption. Note that the security level configured on this page specifies the minimum allowed for the connection. The Users and Computers page configures those users or computers from which communications are allowed to originate. The firewall requires authentication from either the user or computer in order to allow the traffic. By default, these options are not limited, so all users and computers will be allowed. Again, the three profiles available are domain, private, and public. After the new inbound rule wizard has completed, there is a new inbound rule with the name you specified in the details pane. You can configure advanced properties for the rule in the rules properties. Instead of creating an inbound rule for one of the predefined rules, you can just enable the rule listed in the details pane. So we can locate the rule for remote assistance and choose to enable the rule. If we wanted to make changes to the default configured rule, we could open the properties. Windows Firewall with Windows Vista allows you to configure outbound rules in addition to inbound rules. Creating an outbound rule is essentially the same as creating a rule for inbound traffic. Once the new outbound rule wizard starts, you have the option to create a rule for the program or port. You can use a predefined rule, or you can create a custom rule. These options are the same as for the new inbound rule wizard. For the outbound rule, we are going to create a rule based on a program. We need to specify the location of the program we want to create the rule for. We are going to specify Internet Explorer as the program we will allow outbound traffic from. We can allow secure connections, insecure connections, or both. Next, we need to specify the profile to which the rule applies. If we select domain, it will apply when a computer is connected to the corporate domain. We'll configure this rule to only apply to the domain profile. We'll name this rule Internet Explorer. After the new outbound rule wizard has completed, there is a new outbound rule with the names you specified in the details pane. To configure advanced properties for this rule, we can open its properties. From the properties dialog box, for either an inbound or outbound rule, you can configure the rule's settings. On the general tab, you can change the rule's name, the program to which the rule applies, and the rule's actions. The actions a rule can take are to allow, block, or protect. When a rule protects the traffic, it will only allow secure connections. You can also specify to require encryption. We can change the rule's IP protocol, source, and destination TCP or UDP ports, as well as ICMP or ICMPv6 settings. On the scope tab, you can change the rule's source and destination addresses for local and remote addresses. On the Programs and Services tab, you can change programs this applies to and specify services to which the rule applies. The Advanced tab allows you to specify the profiles, types of interfaces, and services to which the rule applies. Settings for Windows Firewall can be configured in the Windows Firewall and Advanced Security Snap-in, as well as from Control Panel. You can't configure advanced settings for the Windows Firewall from Control Panel. However, you can perform options such as turning the firewall on and off if it is allowed through Group Policy. In the Windows Firewall dialog box from the Exceptions tab, you can select Exceptions through the firewall. However, you don't have much control over the rule settings. Along with creating inbound and outbound rules, you can open a port that will allow incoming and outgoing traffic through Windows Firewall. In most cases, if Windows Firewall is blocking a program and you want to allow the program through the firewall, you usually don't need to open a port. However, if a program isn't listed on the Rules tab, you might need to open a port. For example, to play a multiplayer game with your friends online, you might need to open a port for the game so that the firewall allows the game information to reach your computer. When opening a port, you need to specify the port number and whether it is a TCP or UDP port. If you want, you can specify the set of computers for which this port or program is unblocked. You can select any computer, which includes those on the Internet, My Network only, or from a custom list. When you create a rule or open a port in a firewall, you allow a particular program to send information to or from your computer through the firewall. By allowing a program to communicate through a firewall, you open a tiny door in the firewall, which causes your computer to become a little less secure. The more rules or open ports your firewall has, the more opportunities there are for hackers or malicious software to use one of those openings to spread a worm, access your files, or use your computer to spread malicious software to others. It is generally safer to create rules than open ports. If you open a port, it stays open until you close it, whether or not the program is using it. If you create a rule, the firewall opens only when needed for a particular communication. To decrease security risk, you should only open a port when you really need it, and close ports that you no longer need. Also, you should never create a rule or open a port for a program that you do not recognize. From the ICMP area on the Advanced tab, you can configure ICMP, which allows computers on the network to share error and status information. All ICMP options are disabled by default. Enabling ICMP allows other people on your network, and possibly people on the Internet, to discover your computer's presence with the network scan. You can choose which of the settings you want to enable. We are just enabling one for this demonstration. Another type of rule is a computer connection security rule. Computer connection security outlines how and when secure communications are established between computers or groups of computers. Once the new authentication rule wizard starts, you can choose what type of authentication rule you want to create. Use an isolation rule when you want to specify that computers are to be isolated from other computers based on membership in a common Active Directory infrastructure, or because they have an updated and current health status. Isolating computers based on their health status uses the new Network Access Protection, or NAP, platform in Windows Vista and Windows Server Longhorn. NAP is a system health policy enforcement platform built into Windows Vista that allows you to better protect private network assets by enforcing compliance with system health requirements. With NAP, you can create customized health policies to validate computer health before allowing access or communication, automatically update compliant computers to ensure ongoing compliance, and optionally limit the access of non-compliant computers to a restricted network until they have become compliant. An authentication rule can be used to specify computers that do not have to authenticate or protect traffic by their IP addresses. Server-to-server should be used to specify traffic protection between specific computers, usually servers. You can also specify traffic protection that is tunneled. This is normally used when sending packets across the internet between two security gateway computers. Finally, you can create a custom rule when you want to manually configure a rule, perhaps based on advanced properties that cannot be configured through the pages of the new authentication rule wizard. Let's configure an authentication rule for server-to-server communication. You can choose all computers or specify specific computer IP addresses for the endpoints. We're going to choose specific computers as the endpoints. First, we type the IP address for the workstation we are on now. Now we need to add the other endpoint. We are going to enter the IP address for our domain controller, which is 192.168.16.1. By selecting to request authentication for inbound and outbound connections, authentication will be used whenever possible. But if authentication fails, the connection will still be allowed. You can also choose to only require authentication for inbound traffic or for both inbound and outbound traffic. We are going to have the computers authenticate through certificates, so we need to select a certification authority. Normally, you would have a certificate authority within your domain, which you would select. However, for this demonstration, we will select the Microsoft Root Certificate Authority. At this step, you could also choose to only accept health certificates created through the NAP server. Next, we will need to select the profile to which this rule will apply. We'll name this rule Server Authentication. You can modify the settings for the computer connection rule, as with the other types of rules, through the Properties dialog box. The Windows Firewall log lists the IP addresses of computers that have successfully or unsuccessfully tried to connect to your computer. The log can be useful for troubleshooting or for detecting possible hackers. You must enable logging to view the log file. Monitoring of the Windows Firewall can be done in the Advanced Security MMC Snap-in. The monitoring link provides information about incoming and outgoing traffic, as well as the current actions performed. You can also view security associations in either a main mode or quick mode filter. There is a command line version of the monitoring functions, and there is also a new performance counters available with Windows Firewall. In addition, Windows Server Longhorn and Windows Vista include 15 new IPsec Audix-specific events, and the text of 25 existing events have been updated with more useful information. These improvements will help you troubleshoot failed IPsec negotiations without having to enable the advanced Oakley logging capability. Windows Server Longhorn and Windows Vista also include IPsec performance counters to help identify performance and networking issues with IPsec-protected traffic. For IPsec, there is a new Network Diagnostics Framework support. The Network Diagnostics Framework is an architecture that helps users recover from and troubleshoot problems with network connections. For a failed IPsec negotiation, the Network Diagnostics Framework will prompt a user with an option to identify and correct the problem. IPsec support for the Network Diagnostics Framework then attempts to discover the source of the failed connection and either automatically corrects the problem or, depending on security consideration, prompts the users to make the appropriate configuration change. There are some steps to enable logging for Windows Firewall. In this demonstration, we will show how to enable firewall logging and how to use the monitoring node in the Windows Firewall with Advanced Security Snap-in. The new Windows Firewall has the option for advanced logging. By enabling this, you will get detailed logging information specific to Windows Firewall. We will enable logging through the Windows Firewall dialog box and control panel. The logging options are available under the Advanced tab in the Security Logging area. To enable logging of unsuccessful connection attempts, we'll choose to log dropped packets. For successful attempts, we'll choose to log successful connections. By default, the Windows Firewall log is located under C:\Windows\pfirewall.log. However, you can change the name and location of the log file by clicking Save As. You can also change the size limit of the log file, but we'll leave it at the default setting. Another place you can monitor the Windows Firewall is in the Monitoring node in the Windows Firewall with Advanced Security Snap-in. When you click the Firewall node, the Details pane displays the rules that will be enforced and the order in which they will be enforced. We can also view the connection security rules in effect for Windows Firewall. There is only one rule in effect at this time. It is the server authentication rule we created. Finally, you can view security associations in either main mode or quick mode. Now that we have discussed how Windows Firewall and IPsec policies work with Windows Vista, you may wonder how this will work in your organization. One of the benefits of the Windows Vista client is that it understands previous Windows Firewall and IPsec policies. Configuration can be done through the Windows Firewall Administrative Template or NetSH Firewall. IPsec can be configured using the IP Security Policy Snap-in or NetSH IPsec. Troubleshooting can be done through the IP Security Monitor or NetSH IPsec. Policies authored with Windows Firewall with Advanced Security Console or NetSH Advanced Firewall apply only to Windows Vista and Windows Server Longhorn. We are going to finish up this session by discussing the integration of IPsec for additional security. IPsec is now configured using the same interface as the Windows Firewall, which is a huge security improvement in Windows Vista over previous versions of Windows. IP security, commonly called IPsec, is a suite of IP protocols used to provide secure communication. IPsec policies and filters distributed by group policy provide authorization for authenticated users and computers. IPsec provides the ability to protect communication between work groups, local area network computers, domain clients and servers, branch offices, extranets, and roving clients. Although IPsec has encryption capability, it is mostly used for end-to-end authentication. An IPsec policy is a set of rules that specifies authentication methods. IPsec in Windows Server 2003 and Windows XP supports the Internet Key Exchange, IKE, and three authentication methods during main mode negotiations, Kerberos, digital certificates, and pre-shared keys. For all of these authentication methods, the authentication process is validating the identity and trustworthiness of a computer, rather than the user of the computer. IKE only attempts a single authentication using a single authentication method. Windows Vista introduces greater capabilities for IPsec authentication. There is now the ability to require that IPsec peers authenticate with a health certificate. A health certificate server issues a health certificate when a network access protection client proves that its health state complies with the current health policy. IPsec in Windows Vista also defines a new negotiation mode known as extended mode, in which an additional level of authentication is provided. The credentials used during the extended mode authentication can be based on the following: Kerberos credentials of the logged in user account, NTLM version 2 credentials of the logged on user account, a user certificate, or a computer health certificate. Extended mode authentication can be with or without main mode authentication. For example, you can use main mode authentication and Kerberos credentials to authenticate the computer and then extended mode authentication and a health certificate to validate the computer's health state. In Windows Server 2003 and Windows XP, although you can select multiple authentication methods in a preference order for the main mode IPsec authentication, only one authentication method is used for authentication. If the authentication process for the negotiated authentication method fails, main mode fails and IPsec protection cannot be performed. When you select multiple authentication methods for computers running Windows Vista, IPsec will attempt multiple authentication attempts in an effort to perform mutual authentication. For example, if you specify that you want to authenticate using Kerberos and computer certificates with a specific certification authority, the IPsec peer can fail the Kerberos authentication and then attempt certificate authentication. Each rule associates a filter list with an action. The filter list contains a set of filters. A filter describes a pattern of traffic to match by IP address, subnet, port, and protocol for both ends of a connection. An action designates what to do with traffic and matches a filter. Filter actions can be configured to permit, block, or use a customizable negotiate security action. For the negotiate security filter action, the negotiation data contains one or more security methods that are used during IKE negotiations and other IPsec settings. Each security method determines the security protocol, the specific cryptographic and hashing algorithms, and the session key regeneration settings used. One of the main strengths of IPsec is that all administration occurs at the edges of the network on each host. With IPsec, traffic is authenticated from end to end, regardless of the routers, hubs, and networks in between the hosts. In addition, all packets are verified to make sure they have not changed in transit. Although support for IPsec is built into Windows 2000 and later, in Windows XP and Windows Server 2003, Windows Firewall and IPsec are configured separately. Although the purpose of Windows Firewall was to block or allow incoming traffic, IPsec could also be configured to block or allow incoming traffic. Because block and allow traffic behavior for incoming traffic could be configured through two different and separate services, it was possible to have duplicated or contradictory settings. In addition, Windows Firewall and IPsec supported different configuration options for specifying allowed incoming traffic. For example, Windows Firewall allowed rules by specifying the application name, but IPsec did not. IPsec allowed rules based on an IP protocol number, and Windows Firewall did not. In Windows Vista, the Windows Firewall and IPsec have been combined into a single configurable tool with the new Windows Firewall with Advanced Security Snap-in, which now controls blocking and allowing of inbound and outbound traffic, in addition to protecting traffic with IPsec. Also, commands within the NetSH Advanced Firewall context can be used for command line configuration of both firewall and IPsec behavior. The integration of Windows Firewall with IPsec provides computers running Windows Vista with an authenticating firewall. Another benefit to the integration of firewall and IPsec settings is that the configuration of IPsec settings is highly simplified. In Windows Server 2003 and Windows XP, IPsec policy configuration in scenarios such as server isolation and domain isolation consisted of a set of rules to protect most of the traffic on the network and another set of rules for protected traffic rules. Rules are needed for unprotected communication with network infrastructure servers such as DHCP and DNS servers and domain controllers. IPsec in Windows Vista provides an optional behavior when negotiating IPsec protection. With the new configuration options, the sending node will be able to discover whether the receiving node is capable of communicating with IPsec, which simplifies IPsec policy configuration. This new negotiation behavior also improves the performance of unprotected connections to hosts. If an IPsec node running Windows Server 2003 or Windows XP is configured to request protected communications but allow unprotected communications, a behavior known as falling back to clear. It would send the negotiation messages and then wait for response. The initiating node would wait up to 3 seconds before falling back to the clear and attempting unprotected communications. With Windows Vista, the 3-second delay is eliminated because communications in the clear are already in progress while the initiating node is waiting for a response. In addition to the integration of IPsec with Windows Firewall, there have been several other improvements to IPsec and Windows Vista. Administrators are continually faced with the challenge of providing accessibility to authorized computers and users while maintaining security. A server and domain isolation solution based on IPsec and Active Directory enables administrators to dynamically segment their Windows environment into more secure and isolated logical networks based on policy and without costly changes to their network infrastructure or applications. This creates an additional layer of policy-driven protection and helps better protect against costly network attacks and helps prevent unauthorized access to trusted networked resources, achieve regulatory compliance, and reduce operational costs. The first step in creating the policy-based dynamic segmentation is to define logical isolation boundaries in Active Directory. Using domain and server isolation with Active Directory will separate trusted and untrusted resources in the network. Server isolation involves specifying high-value servers and placing them in a more secure, logically isolated network. Domain isolation involves isolating managed computers from unmanaged or rogue computers and users. Next, you will need to distribute credentials to devices. This is where IPsec provides authentication. By using domain isolation, traffic sent between domain member computers is secured so that the receiving computer can verify that an authenticated computer sent the packet and that the packet was not modified in transit. The traffic between domain member computers can be encrypted, providing protection from malicious users on your organization network who attempt to capture and interpret network traffic. In addition, inbound connections are blocked from untrusted sources. Domain member computers use their domain credentials to authenticate communication attempts and network policy settings to secure traffic with each other. Since non-domain member computers do not have domain credentials, they cannot authenticate communication attempts with domain member computers. Finally, the policy-based dynamic segmentation provides tiered access to sensitive resources. You can also use group-specific server isolation with domain isolation so that all traffic between all domain members is secured. Then some servers in the domain can allow secure communications only from domain member computers that are members of specific security groups. In Windows Server 2003 and Windows XP, IPsec policy configuration for dynamic segmentation consists of a set of rules to protect most of the traffic on the network, and another set of rules for protected traffic rules. Rules are needed for unprotected communication with network infrastructure servers, such as DHCP and DNS servers and domain controllers. Other rules are needed for communication with network nodes that are not IPsec capable. In some cases, there are dozens or even hundreds of rules, which makes it difficult to deploy IPsec protection on a private network and to maintain it over time. IPsec behavior with Windows Vista has been improved to simplify administration. IPsec in Windows Server Longhorn and Windows Vista introduces an optional behavior for IPsec negotiation. When this behavior is enabled, an IPsec node running Windows Vista or Windows Server Longhorn will initiate communication with another network node by attempting to communicate in the clear and with protected communication at the same time. When a node is configured to request protected communications but allow unprotected communications, the behavior is known as fallback to clear. The recommended configuration for IPsec is to require protection for incoming communications and to request protection for outgoing initiated communications. With this configuration and the new IPsec behavior, the initiating node discovers whether the node it is communicating with is capable of IPsec and behaves accordingly, greatly simplifying IPsec policy configuration. For example, the initiating node does not need to set up predefined IPsec filters for rules for the set of hosts that either should not or cannot protect network traffic with IPsec. If the initiating IPsec peer receives a response, the communication in the clear is halted until the negotiation can be completed. If the initiating IPsec peer does not receive a response to the initial negotiation attempt, the communication continues in the clear. This new negotiation behavior also improves the performance of unprotected connections to hosts. An IPsec node running Windows Server 2003 or Windows XP that is configured to fall back to the clear would send the negotiation messages and then wait for a response. The initiating node would wait up to 3 seconds before falling back to the clear and attempting unprotected communications. With Windows Server Longhorn and Windows Vista, there is no longer a 3-second delay when falling back to the clear, because communications in the clear are already in progress when the initiating node is waiting for a response. In Windows Server 2003 and Windows XP, the current recommendation from Microsoft is to not use IPsec protection to protect traffic between domain controllers and member computers. IPsec policy configuration can become quite complex because of the different types of traffic sent between domain members and domain controllers, which is why it is not recommended. In addition, if a domain controller requires IPsec-protected traffic from computers that must provide domain-based credentials for authentication, a computer that is not a member of the domain cannot contact a domain controller to join the domain. Windows Server Longhorn and Windows Vista allow you to secure traffic between domain members and domain controllers in several ways. First, you don't have to configure rules for domain controllers because of the new negotiation behavior. This simplifies IPsec policy and the deployment of IPsec protection in a domain. You can also configure IPsec policy in the domain to request protected traffic but not require it. With this configuration, domain controllers will protect most traffic with domain members, but allow clear text for domain joins and other types of traffic. In addition, you can configure IPsec policy to require protected traffic for domain controllers. When a computer running Windows Longhorn Server or Windows Vista attempts to join the domain, the user is prompted for the username and password of a domain user account. IPsec with the domain controller is negotiated with Windows NT LAN Manager version 2, NTLM v2, user credentials for a protected domain join. This new behavior is only available for domain member computers running Windows Vista or Windows Server Longhorn, and for domain controllers running Windows Server Longhorn. Finally, with Windows Vista and Windows Server Longhorn, there is improved load balancing and clustering server support. Although IPsec and Windows Server 2003 supports load balancing and cluster servers, failover times to reestablish IPsec connectivity to a cluster virtual IP address can be lengthy. The failover time is around 3 to 6 seconds for administrative moves of clustered resources. When a cluster node suddenly becomes unavailable or another sudden loss of connectivity occurs, the failover time can take up to 2 minutes. In Windows Server Longhorn and Windows Vista, the timeout for a cluster node failure is substantially reduced because IPsec is more integrated into the next generation TCP/IP stack. So instead of relying on IPsec idle timeouts to detect a cluster node failure, IPsec in Windows Server Longhorn and Windows Vista monitors TCP connections for established SAs or security associations. If the TCP connection for an established SA begins retransmitting segments, IPsec will negotiate the SAs. Therefore, the failure to a new cluster mode happens quickly, usually in time to keep the application from failing. Windows Server Longhorn and Windows Vista allow for several types of IPsec authentication. First, an IPsec node can authenticate with a health certificate. With Windows Vista, you can enable Network Access Protection, or NAP. With NAP, an administrator can set certain health requirements for a computer to connect to the network. For example, an administrator can say that only computers that have Windows Firewall enabled are allowed to connect to the network. In this scenario, a health certificate server would issue a health certificate when the NAP client demonstrates that it has Windows Firewall enabled. IPsec in Windows Server Longhorn and Windows Vista defines a new negotiation mode known as extended mode. During extended mode, you could specify user-based or health-based authentication, which can perform an additional level of authentication. The credentials used during extended mode authentication can be based on the following: Kerberos credentials of the logged on user account, and TLM version 2 credentials of the logged on user account, a user certificate, or a computer health certificate. Extended mode authentication can be with or without main mode authentication. For example, you can use main mode authentication and Kerberos credentials to authenticate the computer, and then extended mode authentication and a health certificate to validate the computer's health state. Finally, with Windows Vista, multiple authentication methods are tried during IPsec authentication. When you select multiple authentication methods for computers running Windows Server Longhorn or Windows Vista, IPsec will attempt multiple authentication attempts in an effort to perform mutual authentication. For example, if you specify that you want to authenticate using Kerberos and computer certificates with a specific certification authority, the IPsec peer can fail the Kerberos authentication and then attempt certificate authentication. There are a few key points to take away from today's session. Additional configuration options with Windows Firewall with Windows Vista provide better administrative control over incoming and outgoing network traffic. Rules can be created based on more parameters, which allows only the traffic you want to enter or leave your network. Troubleshooting with Windows Firewall has been simplified with the addition of the Windows Firewall log. This log can help you identify potential hackers and other security risks. In addition, monitoring capabilities are integrated with the new Advanced Security MMC Snap-in. With Windows XP and Windows 2003, IPsec and Windows Firewall had to be configured separately. Because both technologies applied rules to incoming traffic, this could potentially cause conflicts. With Windows Vista, these two technologies are integrated and configured in the same console. This allows collaboration and better network security. To get more information on the products and technologies we have covered today, we have some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. In addition, you can visit www.microsoft.com/technet/dsk-11 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. Popular author and MVP William Stanek offers expert insights in this first book into the latest generation of Windows operating systems. Discover the new features and tools for deploying Windows Vista, help secure PCs and user accounts, migrate user data and settings, manage application compatibility, improve reliability, reduce support costs, develop applications, and help users achieve new levels of productivity and success at home or on the job. Introducing Microsoft Windows Vista is the guided preview for IT professionals, business decision makers, early adopters, users, developers, and anyone else who wants to start planning and hit the ground running with Windows Vista. There is also another good book available from another publisher. Here is the ultimate one-stop desk reference for Windows Vista users. Windows Vista, the complete reference, provides comprehensive coverage of the newest features of the operating system. From setting up for optimum performance and understanding the operating system, to finding files and keeping computer systems secure and free from spyware, this volume covers it all. It's an ideal resource for anyone who wants to truly master Windows Vista. There's also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills in implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Pressbooks, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including Security and Patch Management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and Visual Studio .NET. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you set yourself apart from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, or MCP. You can become a fully certified system administrator, or MCSA, system engineer, MCSE, or desktop specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which you might find interesting. To help explain this in more detail, please welcome Caroline McGrath, TechNet Relationship Marketing Manager.
For IT professionals, all the resources in the TechNet program will give you the support you need to be successful with our technology. Whether you are deploying new software, managing a server environment, or troubleshooting, TechNet has a resource for you. Use the web for immediate access to documentation, knowledge base, scripts, downloads, and more. Webcasts and events will give you deep insight into specific technology topics. Keep up to date with technology news using the TechNet Flash. This is a twice-monthly newsletter that you can customize to give you information about the specific technology that interests you. With more time to read, the TechNet magazine is an excellent resource offering in-depth articles written by industry-leading technologists. If you want to ensure that you have all of the essential resources at your fingertips, the TechNet subscription is for you. It includes full version software and betas so that you can evaluate our technology at your own pace. No time bombs, so your product analysis won't time out. It includes two complimentary telephone support incidents. Talk to Microsoft technical professionals to help you with whatever challenges you may encounter with the software. That is $500 worth of value. The TechNet subscription is a great value to all IT professionals. Finally, we have TechNet VLabs. Use this to get your hands on the technology in a hosted environment. You can explore how it works, run different scenarios, and have a full product experience without having to dedicate your time to deploy and manage the hardware to do so yourself. Overall, the TechNet program has all of the resources you need to get the most out of Microsoft technology. TechNet Plus subscription. What is it? Get hands-on experience with the technology through software and betas, including Office, Windows, and servers. Support when you need it, including two free telephone support incidents. Easy access to information via updates, utilities, white papers, knowledge base, and more. Work on your skills at your own pace. E-learning courses and training. The TechNet Plus subscription. That's what it is. Need support? Answers are standing by. You have a choice of three support offerings from Microsoft. Firstly, we have online and self-help. Choose from the TechNet website, the Security Center Online, Knowledge Base, Product Support Centers, the TechNet Script Center, News Groups, User Groups, and the TechNet Plus subscription. Secondly, we have assisted incidents. Assisted incidents include email support, phone support, phone support contracts, advisory services. Finally, contract-based support. Contract-based support is offered to organizations and consists of premier support or essential support. Thank you for listening to this TechNet session.